traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
And just like that, you don't even know there was any stress going on here. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Hutch Bailey Jr. This is the award-winning Wayne Dupree Show. Let me get some help and go over to Minnesota to get it. What's going on, Jason?
Hey. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It's been an interesting morning for Hutch and I.
It has. Ladies and gentlemen, Wayne is taking care of family issues right now, so we're going to carry the load for him. This is Jason Robinson. From Minnesota, I'm Hutch Bailey Jr. once again, and my internet came back on about 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago, so we're rocking and ready to go. I had to hurry up and pick my shirt out, and the best part about it, though, is my coffee's hot.
Oh, Split Rock coffee.
Usually it's not hot at this time. It's there, but I've had it for a while, but not today. That was.
Yeah, and I guess maybe to start too, Hutch, let me just read the statement Wayne put out on social media. In case anybody hasn't seen it. So this was at 8:30 last night. Tonight, my mom fell out of her wheelchair at the nursing home and hit her head. They rushed her to the hospital, did a CT scan, and currently has a fair amount of blood on the brain. Surgery can be done, but because of her age, dementia, cognitive heart failure, doctor would not recommend it. We are returning her home for hospice and quality of life tonight. Her heart rate is pretty low at this time, but she could pull through in a few days or get worse in a few hours. Nothing is for sure right now, but the doctor was very forthwith with all the scenarios. We understood everything. So I think Wayne's been dropping updates on Twitter with that stuff. So our prayers go out to him and his family. So,
yeah, it's a tough part of life. It really is. Most of us have experienced some form or another of it. So it's he's struggling and we got his back. So that's why we're here. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of things going on out there. We want to get right to the breaking stuff first, I imagine. It looks like Mike Johnson's in trouble, and he should be. I mean, this guy, some of the things that this guy is doing, I mean, he's out there praising the American jobs that the Ukraine war will provide. I mean, this is a guy that, how do you do that? How do you balance that with a biblical foundation? And I guess it's possible. We haven't had a major war in this country for a long time. So maybe he doesn't know what war is. You know, I can't imagine that. But this is not Iraqi insurgents versus U.S. convoys in Ukraine. This is force on force. And the bodies pile up pretty high when it's that type of conflict. And I can't see how Mike Johnson could just approve of all this, Jason. It's beyond me. It blows me away when I think about it. The money's one thing, and that's very serious too. But killing is totally something else.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's remarkable when Republicans took the House, if you remember what they promised Americans they were going to do, release the January 6th tapes, they were going to do single subject spending bills, they were going to hold Mayorkas and all these folks accountable, they were going to do all this stuff. McCarthy did none of it. McCarthy got kicked out. And we brought in Speaker Johnson. He was kind of out of nowhere. And I think on the show, we were concerned, but we're willing to give him a chance. And this guy's been as bad or worse than McCarthy. And I like Thomas Massie, probably, I think, more than you and Wayne do. But I follow him, and I don't agree with him all the time, but I like his perspectives. And yesterday he had enough, because Speaker Johnson, first, I think what really rattled his cage is they passed this FISA bill, which we should talk about that. And it's awful. And Speaker Johnson was the deciding vote for it to go forward. And then he announced he's going to do these spending bills. And it's just, it's truly remarkable.
Let's put this in perspective. It was 212 to 212. And the only amendment, the amendment still kept FISA alive.
Right.
The only thing, it made him have to get a warrant for American citizens. And Speaker Johnson voted against that.
Right.
And there's some contention as to whether or not his was the last vote. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. He voted to have no warrants on citizens, on plebes. On us.
Yeah, and think of that, folks. So these FISA courts that came out, you know, they kind of go back to the Patriot Act. They allow intelligence agencies to spy on American citizens. And in this case, it finally wasn't going to pass. A bunch of us have been screaming about it for years, like this FISA. It was designed to root out terrorists, not to surveil American citizens without a warrant. What pushed it through is they said, okay, members of Congress, we're going to add an amendment to exempt you from FISA.
Unbelievable.
But American citizens are still subject to it. And all it was an amendment saying, if you want to surveil an American citizen, you need to get a warrant. And Johnson voted for it. It was remarkable.
It makes you wonder what they showed him in the skiff.
Yeah. Yeah. For those who didn't follow that, last week, Johnson said, when I was just a member of the House, I agreed with all this FISA stuff and not needing a warrant. But then the intelligence community brought me in one of these secure skiffs and showed me a bunch of stuff. And now I understand why we need warrantless surveillance. And it's like, wait a second.
And just so everybody's clear on this, because he's the Speaker of the House, it makes him a member of the Gang of Eight. Okay, which is the Speaker, the minority and majority leader of both houses of Congress, plus intelligence committee chairs, I think.
Yep.
They know everything. Everything that happens with the federal government, they know. In other words, McCarthy knew about the coup.
Yep.
He knew it all. They all know it all. So hiding behind this Republican Party, that's out. No more. We're not doing that anymore. Mike Johnson is the same as a Democrat. As far as I'm concerned, if he doesn't have the intestinal fortitude to be a leader like Nancy Pelosi, then he should vacate himself out of the chair.
Well, yeah. And actually, so Tom MTG put in the motion or put together the motion last week, and Thomas Massie, he seconded the motion.
I was getting to that. See, where we're at now is we have a razor thin majority. So with Thomas Massie back at MTG, why don't we roll the clip, Jason?
Yeah, let me roll the clip here. The video's formatted a little funny. Sorry about that, folks.
Without ever being speakerless, and we can be in control of it in a conference. But I'm afraid he is dead set, and the people who are pushing him are dead set on riding that horse until it collapses.
Congressman, can you clarify
want him to resign?
Exactly?
You want him to resign?
What is that?
Yeah, I asked him to resign.
When did you ask him?
He said he would not. And then I said, well, you're the one who's going to put us into this. Because the motion is going to get called, okay? Does anybody doubt that? The motion will get called. And then he's going to lose more votes than Kevin McCarthy. And I have told him this in private, like, weeks ago. So, I mean...
When did you ask him to resign?
Yeah, when did you ask
right
him
in
to
there.
Resign? Just today.
So, Congressman, help us understand that. If he's not resigning, are then you going to push a motion to vacate this week?
No, I'm not going to call the motion to vacate. But I will tell you... if it is called, there will be a lot of people who vote for it.
How does a motion to vacate against Speaker Johnson help the country?
Some would say
what a stupid question.
We have a rudder. We're steering everything toward what Chuck Schumer wants. There has not been a change. I mean, if the country likes Chuck Schumer, then they should like what Speaker Johnson's accomplished in the House.
Ooh. Who would be there? Successor here.
tough. Hey, there's no shortage of people in that
room. Yeah, but we went through this last fall.
Then we ended up with some guy nobody in America ever heard of. Right?
So you're
There's always somebody.
But are you willing to do that again?
No, I'm trying to prevent that. Right? Remember, let's start back at the beginning. If somebody calls in a motion to vacate on the floor, then we, and it succeeds, which it will, now you have no speaker. And then you have a temporary speaker, and it's a hot mess. If, like when Boehner left, Speaker Johnson would announce that he is leaving as soon as we get another speaker, and that we can commence finding that person, or at a certain date certain in the future he will leave, then we still have a speaker. We have Speaker Johnson, who can pass all these wonderful messaging bills, do the things that we do. We can have subpoenas, the committees can still meet, and we don't have what happened last fall. He is the only one that can put us on that path right now.
And what if Democrats?
And he's not going to do it because they won't let him do it.
Right. Yeah, and Massey, the audio is a little hard to hear, but basically he's asked Johnson to resign. Johnson can say, I'm going to resign. They can figure out who the new speaker will be, and then effective on Johnson's resignation, we could have a Republican speaker. But Johnson came out already and said, I'm not resigning.
And I'm, like I said, I'm sure you got to flip this around. I've got a totally new perspective of how this works. Congressman and Rush Limbaugh used to say this, but he used the press. He said the press used to run the politicians. But now it's the intelligence community.
Right.
They're running the politicians with guns. I mean, this is no joke. That guy, I guarantee you, when he goes home, he's crying. They're twisting this guy, I promise.
Well, and I got to say, if you think about that, I mean, it's really remarkable that more Americans don't realize how bad this is. I mean, I think JFK, I think that was the fork in the proverbial road. He was going to, we need to blow up the intelligence community and scatter it to the wind. And then miraculously the JFK incident happens. And now ever since then, I mean, why have they not released the Epstein files? You know, FBI has all that information. The intelligence community has all that information. And it's, in my opinion, because they own the politicians.
And I think they probably own the FBI agents too.
Right.
You know, they probably got some all expense paid trips to the island.
Ugh.
You know, I mean, this is, I don't know how you dig out from under this. This is the further we go every day that passes, we get deeper and deeper into this mess. And it's, you know, it's like I was in Washington State one time at Fort Lewis, Washington. And I'm looking, a guy pointed, he said, that's Mount Rainier. But I was there for 10 days and it rained for 9. Right. So I'm looking up at Mount St. Helens. So I thought, or Mount Rainier. So I thought, and I think it was Mount Rainier. It was one of the big giant ones, but then the clouds cleared and I was like, you know, it was way. That's what this feels like. You know, it feels like we thought we had our eyes on this, but then as the clouds start to clear, it's like, wait a minute. This guy said his whole life was based on the Bible. What happened?
Right.
In a week, you know, how did this guy change like this?
What? And this spending bill he's talking about, I mean, we've broke down on this show 12 ways from Sunday about how financially screwed the country is. Folks, we have no money. Any money we spend, we go, we take out a loan, and then we spend it. And the military-industrial complex wants nothing more than us to spend $60 billion more dollars in Ukraine. And that's what the bill is. And after the incident in Israel, which we talked about yesterday, the whole thing's just kind of a weird situation. What happened with Iran attacking Israel, and was there warning, was there not? But we called it right when it happened. The first thing they're going to do is they're going to say, we need to fund Israel. And I think most Americans could get behind that to a certain degree, or a lot of Americans. But then they're going to say, you can't fund Israel without funding Ukraine. And I think everybody's done with funding Ukraine. They don't need more money. They don't need more rockets. They need more bodies. And unless we're going to start sending them bodies.
And we're going to send $60 billion overseas, and we've got our borders wide open.
Right.
With millions of people in all kinds of different, our cities are being destroyed. I saw a thing about New York City. An entire city block has been taken over by these people, and they have an open air prostitution and otherwise market in this open. I mean, it's not going to be safe to walk down the street.
It's already not. And then these politicians get out in front of everybody and like, everything's great in New York. Crime's down. Life's good. Come here. I got to say, too, New York did a really stupid thing with this Alvin Bragg's because they're bringing media into New York. And Laura Loomer, who I'm a huge fan of Laura Loomer. She's the best. She was dropping video today. She was out in front of City Hall. And there's all these African immigrants or migrants or illegal aliens that were out in front of City Hall waiting to meet with the city to talk about getting their EBT renewed. She was doing interviews with these folks. How long have you been here? Oh, I'm from Africa. I've been here for about 4 months. I got to come in, figure out about getting my stuff renewed. And I mean, it's just this line around the block in New York. None of them are American citizens. They are all financial migrants. They aren't migrants in the sense of they're fleeing a war-torn country. Their country just sucks and is broke. And so they come here.
And they bring their ways with them. I mean, you look at Mexico. Mexico has some of the best natural resources on the planet. And yet it's a piece of garbage, man. Their government is so corrupt. And they're going to bring that right with them. I mean, you'll have people in Congress that are just like in the Mexican parliament, you know, just like we have in Minnesota and in Dearborn and in Hamtramck and now in Columbus, Ohio as well.
Right.
But you know, our life's pretty easy compared to Donald Trump.
Oh my gosh.
This poor guy, this Alvin Bragg, man, has no heart. I think this is the dumbest thing that this dumb man has done to date. What did he do lately?
Well, I got to say, so yesterday, so we broke down this case and we've got a few video clips. We'll show a response from President Trump. We got a little bit of Dershowitz breaking down the legality of it. But just so everybody knows, this case was passed on by two or three federal agencies who's like, yeah, there's nothing here. No politician's been prosecuted for what they're charging Trump with. In fact, Hillary, with the Steele dossier, did essentially the same thing, where she coded expenditures as legal fees, and it came out of a different account than her campaign so that they couldn't track it. And so this has been going on since politicians was a thing. Dershowitz even made reference to a hush money payment Alexander Hamilton made in the video.
You know, and this, the thing about this is, where I was going is the lawfare tactic is to sway people's hearts and minds.
Right.
It really has nothing to do with the conviction.
Yeah.
It's to meld public opinion. And when I say Alvin Bragg is dumb, you don't tell a dad he can't go to your son's graduation from high school.
Should I hit the video, Hutch?
You should hit the video.
So thank you very much. We had some amazing things happen today. As you know, my son has graduated from high school, and it looks like the judge will not let me go through the graduation of my son, who's worked very, very hard. He's a great student. Very proud of the fact that he did so well. And I was looking forward for years to have graduation with his mother and father there. And it looks like the judge isn't going to allow me to escape this scam. It's a scam trial. If you read all of the legal pundits, all of the legal scholars today, there's not one that I see that said this is a case that should be brought or tried. It's a scam. It's a political witch hunt. It continues, and it continues forever. And we're not going to be given a fair trial. It's a very, very sad thing. In addition, as you know, next Thursday, we're before the United States Supreme Court at a very big hearing on immunity. And this is something that we've been waiting for a long time. And the judge, of course, is not going to allow us. He's a very conflicted judge. And he's not going to allow us to go to that. He won't allow me to leave here for a half a day, go to D.C. and go before the United States Supreme Court, because he thinks he's superior, I guess, to the Supreme Court. We got a real problem with this judge. We have a real problem with a lot of things having to do with this trial, including the DA, because you go right outside and people are being mugged and killed all day long, and he's sitting here all day with not 10 or 12 prosecutors over nothing. Over nothing. Over what people say shouldn't be a trial. So I just want to thank you very much, but that I can't go to my son's graduation, or that I can't go to the United States Supreme Court, that I'm not in Georgia or Florida or North Carolina campaigning like I should be, it's perfect for the radical left Democrats. That's exactly what they want. This is about election interference. That's all it's about. Thank you very much.
I think that is a deadly mistake for Mr. Bragg.
I got to say, I read a lot of stuff and I researched a lot of stuff going into this case. And this case is the weakest case of all of them. That's why I bet Carl $1,000 on this one that he won't be convicted. It's that bad. And this case is being held. The judge is a Joe Biden donor. It's in a Biden plus 80 district. So 80% of the district this case is in voted for Joe Biden. And the judge says President Trump needs to be in the courtroom every day of the trial, which are saying jury selection is going to be at least 4 weeks. The trial's going to be 4 more weeks. Trump asked about, can I go to Barron's graduation? They said no. He said, well, I've got a Supreme Court case coming up. He said, too bad. You're not excused from the Supreme Court. So I don't know about you, Hutch, but I'm hoping Trump just says screw him and he goes to Barron's graduation.
He should. I mean, this isn't even really. I came across something this morning that I had totally forgotten about. Remember a couple years ago when they uncovered that Congress had a $17 million slush fund for hush money for people they raped?
Correct.
I mean, and they're doing, this is bizarre. I can't wait till the adults take over again. Because that's where we're at right here. This is ridiculous.
Well, yeah, and not only did Trump, this is a fairly common practice for rich people and politicians where they're paying people off. And like Hutch mentioned, there is a budget that exists just for if somebody in the House or Senate, gets accused of something, all the money comes out of the budget. And American citizens don't get to know who that money was spent on, why it was spent, what it did, any of that stuff.
How does anybody get reelected, man? This is going to be an interesting election to watch, I think.
Yeah.
I really do. There has to be. Can you imagine living in New York City and voting for a Democrat after they ruined your whole city? I mean, Chicago, Denver especially. Denver should go bright, bright red.
Right.
You know, but they probably won't.
And it's funny you say that here. Let me play this clip because I was just wondering what the left's views of some of this stuff would be. Check this out.
Watching this from afar, if you saw Donald Trump behind bars, you know, cuffed or, you know, frog walked out of that courtroom, I mean, his numbers would go sky high. His fundraising would go off the charts. Does he have an unlimited amount of people willing to put money into his pocket to pay for his trials?
Well, let's do it and find out. Why are we concerned about how much money he raises off of a perp walk? Why are we concerned how much ire is cast upon the system by his sycophantic followers? If the justice system is doing its justice correctly and fairly, those of us in the political space will know, okay, yeah, that's a political problem for him. And it's a political opportunity for his opponents. That's the politics of this. But our system shouldn't be beholden, Andrea, to concerns about whether or not Donald Trump raises money and his numbers go up if the system is doing what it's supposed to do. And if he is convicted, then in my view, all of the entrapments of being a former president should be stripped away. So there is no concern about security in a jail cell because then he's a convicted felon. He's not a former president.
Let me explain the politics. That's the former chairman of the Republican National Committee.
Insane, isn't it?
That was our leader.
Right.
Right there. Michael Steele. Biggest traitor I've ever seen.
Right.
How can you talk about, I mean, this guy has brought more Republicans into this party than it's ever had before. And this is what they do. This is such a fraud.
Well, yeah, and it's funny too, because I mean, we got people like Liz, thanks for tuning in. So he's not going to his son's graduation. Poor babies. There are videos to be taken.
Obviously, Liz doesn't have any children.
Well, not only that, I remember when Democrats used to be all about, like, let's have a fair justice system. And the fact that President Trump is being accused of something that nobody's ever been prosecuted for, and I take that back. Hillary was prosecuted. Obama was prosecuted as misdemeanors. They paid a $100,000 fine, or I think Hillary's was $260,000. There was no big trial. There was no big show. And this judge is going to take those same sorts of infractions and say, Donald Trump, think of that. 8 weeks in a courtroom, Hutch. He's going to be in there. I mean, we're in the middle of April, so middle of May, middle of June. I mean, it's going to be 4th of July till he's on the campaign trail. And people like Liz, you don't think that's a problem that the Democrats are going after the front runner for the Republican nomination?
Brazenly. I mean, just openly. It's crazy. And this is after they got, what was the fine on his last case? 300 million or 4 million, 450 million or something?
Right.
For this woman that couldn't remember the year that it happened?
Yeah, well, actually, that one is 83 million for the woman who didn't know when it happened, where it happened.
Mixed up with these different numbers. You know, I think they reduced it to 83 million.
Well, no, the 450 is the business one for. Okay. Yeah, there's so many to keep. I got a whole flow chart on my wall, Hutch. I got one of them flip charts. And I'm like, how much is this
going all Glenn Beck on us and whatnot?
Right. Yeah.
But you almost have to. Let's get a little bit more. Let's put this case to bed for now. Let's get Alan Dershowitz to break it down. We're probably not going to listen to the whole thing, but
let's listen to parts. Like 2-3 minutes, he does real. Actually, it's Glenn Jacobs, then Dershowitz.
Never should have brought. Joining us now to talk about this, Alan Dershowitz, professor emeritus at Harvard Law School, Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst, and author of The Constitution of the United States, other patriotic documents. Greg Jarrett, what is up with this case? I mean, really, what is up with this case?
You know, this is the most tortured, convoluted, cockamamie case I've ever seen a prosecutor bring. And I've been a lawyer for more than 40 years. I've tried cases. This is truly outrageous because it's punitive and quite blatantly politically motivated. Bragg is contorting the law by taking an expired misdemeanor, attaching it to a federal campaign finance violation. It isn't a violation at all. What's more, he's not actually charging that underlying crime because he has no jurisdiction and authority as a local prosecutor to do that. The Federal Election Commission and the Department of Justice looked at this and said, this isn't a campaign donation. There's no crime here. But enter Alvin Bragg, who thinks he knows better and can prove the case. But frankly, all he's got going for him is a biased, Trump-hating judge and a jury pool that I am afraid is, you know, virulently adverse to Donald Trump. It's going to be tough for him to get a fair and impartial jury.
Professor Dershowitz, this was, as Greg said, the Justice Department looked at this and rejected it. The Federal Election Commission looked at this and rejected it. The other one that's so interesting is Cy Vance Jr. I'm going to call him a moderate Democrat, whether that's fair or not. He's an old friend of mine. He looked at it and didn't want to bring it. So why is Bragg bringing it other than, Professor Dershowitz, the fact that it's pure election year politics? I mean, is there an iota of judicial meaning to this case?
No, of course not. And the only reason they're bringing it is to keep Donald Trump out of Pennsylvania, when Biden goes out of Wisconsin, keep him out of Arizona, to keep him out of other states. This is direct election interference. The purpose of this trial is to keep him from campaigning, to give the advantage to Joe Biden and his campaign. Now, I'm not a Trump supporter politically, but I know unfairness when I see it. I would like to see Trump defeated on the merits without election interference, fairly and squarely, in a way that he can't complain that Republicans who voted for him can't complain. And the New York district attorney is denying the people of America the right to a fair election. And there is nothing to this case. Nothing whatsoever. There's no misdemeanor here. If there were a misdemeanor here, Alexander Hamilton would have gone to jail. He paid hush money to cover up an affair with a married woman, and he didn't list it on his Treasury Department forms. Nobody in American history, I suspect nobody in world history, has ever been indicted for failing to disclose hush money. Why would anybody ever pay hush money if they had an obligation to disclose it? It's an oxymoron. It's not even a misdemeanor. And then they turn the misdemeanor into a felony by going outside the jurisdiction of the state courts, invoking a prosecution, which the federal prosecutors declined to bring.
Right.
So, I mean, everybody knows it. Right. Everybody knows it. It's all election interference. It just makes you wonder. You know, here's the thing. This says a lot about New York, right? So New York brings a man all the way to the pinnacle of life, Donald J. Trump, one of New York's own, and they turn on him like rats.
Right.
Isn't that something? You'd think they'd be proud of the man.
Yeah, I mean, if you remember when he got into real estate, he was there in the dark days where New York real estate was terrible.
Well, his casinos were in bad shape.
Right.
In New Jersey.
Yeah. I mean, he jumped in. Think of how many people. I think I read that he employs 40,000 people in New York.
He's probably a good boss too.
Oh yeah. You won't. I mean, you'll find some people that didn't like working for Trump, especially in politics, because they didn't like that he wanted to do things for the American people, not for the rest of you. But it's truly sad. And I got to show this. I mentioned it earlier. And speaking of just how awful New York is, this is right now today in front of New York City Hall.
Half of Africa's here.
Yeah.
They're going to start. I'm going to tell you what you're going to see next. I do a thing on my show every week called the Weekly Jihad Report.
Right.
And I talk about all the jihadist actions that happen throughout the world. And most of them happen in Africa.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you what, that stuff's going to start happening in New York. You're going to start seeing Christians burned alive. Mark my words, man. It's going to happen.
And these folks, that's from this morning in front of New York City Hall. Military age African males, and they're there for meetings and kind of a protest because they're discouraged about the fact that they're not getting enough benefits. Some of them are going to be asked to leave their hotels and they don't want to leave their hotels, and they're pushing for more EBT benefits. And there's a bunch of clips online. Some of them, you know, we can't play on some of these platforms. But like they're it's all these independent journalists that are in town for President Trump, and they're just wandering over there going like, hey, can I interview you? What are you here for? And these guys are like, oh yeah, well, I'm from wherever in Africa, and we came here, you know. Yeah, they're giving away all kinds of money and stuff, so we thought we'd get in on it. And why are y'all down here? Well, because like we're gonna be kicked out of our hotels and we don't think we should be. I mean, it's, and where's the mainstream media? Like, that's New York.
And you know what's going to happen here? It's becoming pretty clear. You know, you see this situation in Israel, and I hope they can keep us out of this, because you know, this is like, okay, we go into the Middle East again, and we've got all these sleepers that are in this country already, these jihadists that are here from the Middle East, not necessarily Africa, but from the Middle East. And all of a sudden, there's a mass casualty incident in the United States. Right. So we have to cancel the elections. And military recruiting's down. So all these military-age males, we got to put 500,000-600,000 of them in the military. And then it's over.
Right.
Then it's over.
Well, and it's funny. Liz hasn't been on the show before. I haven't seen her comments, but she is just knocking them out of the park today. They could be in the military and not allowed to take off, go to it. Hutch, how
is that what you want? Is that what you want, Liz? You want people from Namibia in the United States Army? These people can't even speak English.
Right.
And they don't have the same values that I have.
Right.
I don't know about you, but they don't have as same as me, Liz.
Well, and you got to think about it, Hutch. These guys, and they're tied to the Middle East too, because many of these folks that came from these countries share religious beliefs with people in the Middle East. There were protests where they were burning American flags yesterday in support of Hamas in downtown New York, kind of down by where Trump was at. And I guess these protests are happening all the time. But once again, it's one of those things more people are seeing now because they're in there covering from New York City. And you think that an Arabic immigrant who has no loyalty to the United States, we should be putting in our military and giving guns and sending, training them and sending them out to fight our wars. Like, that is, if you think that's a good idea, you're an idiot. Like, I don't know a nice way to put it.
Yeah, their loyalties are not with us. That's for sure. They're robbing us.
Right.
You know, so it's something that you got to really think about. And nobody in leadership has been, including our military leaders.
Right.
I don't know what they're thinking about. They're hollowing their force right out. You know, how are you going to send African Muslims to defend Israel? How's that going to work out?
Right.
You know, it's not going to work out.
No.
And you look at some of the events. One of the ways that specifically in the Democratic Republic of the Congo that these people go about taking out Christians is they wait until Sunday.
Yep.
And then they lock the outside doors on the church and light it on fire.
Right.
They do it all the time. And I don't know how we wake these Democrats up, or these, even the Rhino or the Never Trumpers, but we need some help.
But it's interesting when you said about the election being canceled, because I have maintained the position that there is a 30% chance that we do not have an election this year. And I'm not sure exactly what or how or what, you know, how we get there, but there's just, the deep state is under attack. You've got President Trump. You've got about 20 members of the House, maybe a couple members of the Senate. You've got some America First candidates that are winning. Mayor Trent Staggs, it looks like he's doing well. Brandon Gill in Texas. There's a bunch of MAGA members of the House. So a bunch of America First people. So the Uniparty is going to do anything they can. And it's interesting. I made reference to my fantasy baseball draft. And I was sitting there with a couple lefties, and they were calling me an extremist. And I said, it started out with abortion, because I'm like, I'm pro-life. I think it's a baby. That's why I don't kill it. Like, and if that makes me extreme, I'm extreme. Like, I'm anti-killing baby, Hutch. That means you're an extremist. But we were talking about the election. I said, yeah, there's probably a 30% chance we don't have an election. They're like, oh, what are you talking about? You're crazy, blah, blah, blah. And I looked at them and I go, guys, all we need is World War III, and that's a justifiable reason in their mind to cancel the election or postpone it, especially if there's a war at World War III in the Middle East. You know darn well, with 8 million people we've let in, there's at least 1,000 that have ill intentions. Just 1,000. That's all that it took to attack Israel to set off this whole thing. It was like, what was it, like 1,200 people, Hutch?
What about 9/11? 13 people.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's ways to do this, and they've been thinking about this for 50 years.
Right.
You know, I'm sure they have plans already developed. There's probably packs of cyanide by the freaking water plants and everything else. I mean, this is the thing about these enemies, including the ones in the deep state, as well as the foreigners, they don't care what they burn down.
Right.
And especially the deep state. I mean, if any of the theories or conspiracies or whatever that we've thought about over the years, like with 9/11 and other events, the Titanic, for example. I mean, nothing's beyond them.
Right.
That's not fun to think about.
Well, and you don't want to be a conspiracy theorist. I mean, I can't really say that because I am a conspiracy theorist, but you don't want to.
It's critical thinking.
Right, yeah. How many of these conspiracy theories have to get shown to have some relevance before people wake up and go, the scale at which we're being lied to? I mean, think about that stupid barge we talked about. Now they're investigating, the FBI launched an investigation into the company, whether they should have taken the barge out. And I just found out, because I was looking into that yesterday, the FBI hadn't been on the barge yet. Yesterday was the first day. So that barge crashed into the thing, and they declared it the safest barge ever, just like 2020 was the safest election ever.
But you did hear that the FBI has opened a cover-up. I mean, an investigation.
Yeah, they opened a cover-up yesterday, and then, but they're only investigating the shipping company, and did they violate safety protocols? Right. But I'm like, how did they declare it safe and secure when black box time is missing? The 2 minutes of the power outage are missing from the black box, which the black box is supposed to prevent, and the FBI didn't even go onto the barge to check it out.
And I mean, they want to fine or jail President Trump for hush money. And the first 5 minutes after that bridge collapse, Biden said, we're going to pay for everything.
Right. You
know, not we're going to go after the people who did it. We're going to just go ahead and let the American people pay for this bridge. And by the way, it'll be the renamed something else. And like we talked about yesterday.
Yeah, the George Floyd Memorial Bridge. Although you aren't thinking it's George Floyd. Maybe it'll be Brooks Robinson or something.
Somebody from Baltimore it'll be.
Right.
As well it should be if they're going to rename it. But I thought the old name was fine.
Yeah. What's wrong with Francis Scott Key?
I don't know. I want to shift this up a little bit because there's another existential issue that's out there that it's starting to get some traction, and it's about time. I started talking about this about a year ago, and it never really got any traction. I was kind of surprised. When you look at the food and drug, actually it was longer than a year ago, the Food and Drug Administration, being combined and why they're combined. And then yesterday, RFK Jr. came out and basically said the exact same thing that I said. He took it another step further and said that the Big Food is owned, like literally owned by Big Pharma.
Correct.
And everybody's owned by BlackRock.
Right.
You know, so you've got this way of doing things that they poison you so they can get you on the drugs that we've talked about for the last few months, the forever drugs, the ones like I have to take and you have to take for sugar.
Right. Yeah. For diabetes.
I saw something yesterday, man. We have got to bring down this American food is poison. Yep. And I'm just going to make that blanket statement until we get somebody who's not in Big Pharma in charge of food. When I see a video of one of my favorite snacks growing up, and even to this day, well, to yesterday, because I'm never eating them again, is a Nestle drumstick, a Nutty Buddy.
Oh, you saw that one?
I mean, this is disgusting. 22 hours it laid out, and there was a clear liquid that came out on the table. Not as much as should.
Right.
But I don't know what that white stuff is, but it is not milk.
Yeah.
You look at it.
Find it quick. This was the most remarkable video ever.
It's on Revolver.com if you want to
get it. Oh, Revolver.com.
But
oh,
yeah. I'll tell you, I looked at that and I noticed I came home from Arby's one day and I noticed like Arby's isn't the same as it used to be and I don't feel good. Yep. You know, and I'm laying down and it's like I get that feeling a lot. And I started adjusting my diet quite a bit. And, you know, not a diet to lose weight, but I'm scared of these poisons. There's 1,000 extra ingredients in our food compared to what's in Europe.
Right.
You know, in Europe, they have standards. Even like in Italy doesn't like using flour from anywhere else in the EU. You know, they've got high standards and we have no standards. Money. That's our standard. Money. That's it. All they're doing is adding all these toxins into all our food to extend shelf life. It's all about money, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, let me play this drumstick clip. Oh, this is...
You're never going to eat it.
What you're looking at here is the aftermath of a drumstick ice cream cone that has been sitting out for 22 hours now. I set this out yesterday at 6 or 7 p.m. and it's now 4:23 p.m. the next day. And this is the outcome. If you watch my previous video, you'll see how after about 2 hours, the ice cream didn't melt at all. So this is the outcome after almost 24 hours. And just think, your kids are eating this. Heck, I was eating it, but I will not eat it any longer. I will never eat these again. Sorry, drumstick.
You know, that brought back a memory for me. I remember when those first came out, you always had leakage coming out of the bottom of the cone.
Oh, right.
You know, I mean, you had to suck it out because otherwise it would drip all over your hands and everything else. And then they got smart, if you remember, and they took a little bit of that chocolate and they plugged it at the bottom. So there was a little, you got that last bite of chocolate at the end. But I'm never eating one of those again. And I loved them, man. I mean, how could you? How could you eat that? You know what that's going to do to you? Nobody knows what it's going to do to you.
Right.
And what's that clear stuff?
I have no idea. Well, and it's funny because we've talked about on the show the goal for Big Pharma. So let's say you adopt a worldview that there are rich and powerful corporations that control America. And that used to be the predominant worldview of the Democrat Party, by the way. They used to always rail about how Republicans are owned by big corporations. So there's about four food manufacturers that run all the food in America. And those people, their biggest shareholders are the same people that are shareholders in the big pharma company. So what better way to get you on forever medication? Because I don't know about you, Hutch. I got the old man pill bottle, right? And I need this for my heart, and I need this for my diabetes, and this for my blood pressure, and this for that. You never graduate from any of those pills.
And I think they do it to you, too, because I tried a couple times.
Right.
And it's like I came close to blowing up with the blood pressure. and with the omeprazole for my GERD, you know, it's after 2 days, I was hurting again.
Right.
So it's like you got to go back on them. And it makes you wonder, especially with the blood pressure.
Right.
Did they do something to cause this?
Well, I got to say, if you just look at the high sugar and high sodium content, just at a base level before they got into the chemicals in the last 30, 40 years, like American food always had really high sugar once we got away from natural. It really high sugar count, really high salt count, and those long-term are probably bad for you. If you look at the food pyramid was one of the greatest travesties ever committed against the American population. I mean, you remember it's like, oh, hey, carbs are great. How many more carbs can you eat? And then we flood our schools with just garbage food. You know, here's pizza crust, here's potato chips, here's all these things that are just terrible for you. And then you coat them all in chemicals now. And then you say, hey, you know, why is everybody sick all the time? Why are you on 12 pills a month? It's insane.
It definitely is. Especially, you know, you go down and you look at the, like, for instance, the cereal aisle is always a prominent aisle in a supermarket. Mm-hmm. And there's three manufacturers.
Yep.
There's Kellogg's, Post, and General Mills.
That's it.
And you can't get away from them. And when you look at the flour that they're using and the corn that they're using, it's filled with pesticides.
Right.
You know, and it's starting to show up in different analysis and whatnot.
Well, and if you look too, and you can't pronounce any, like all the ingredients, I mean, it was funny. I was looking, Jen and I are trying to eat a little healthier. So I was having a salad the other day. I'm like, okay, here's some lettuce. I cut up some chicken breast, some cheese, put a little dressing on there. And I topped it off with some croutons. need a little carbs with my lunch, so I throw a few croutons in. And I'm sitting there eating my lunch at the table. I'm on my computer, and I lift a little package of the croutons next to me, facing me. And I'm like, croutons are the simplest food ever. It is toasted bread with seasoning on it.
Stale bread.
Yeah, stale bread, cut up. They season it a little bit. And I was looking, and these freaking croutons.
It's that bread again, man, that freaking factory bread.
I know. It had like 30 ingredients. I'm like, it should be like bread, garlic powder. And I'm like.
You know, I remember the generic foods back in the 70s.
Right.
And they're not the same as today's generic foods. These were, at least in my area, came in a white package with black letters. No colors, no nothing. Big old giant bag of potato chips. Ingredients, potatoes, oil, salt.
Right.
Next.
Exactly.
And you could even do that here. And we talked about this a little bit before with the shredded cheese. The shredded cheese with the cellulose powder, which is sawdust. Right. And with the prescription antibiotic, niacin or something, adamycin.
Right.
Which is for fungus in your eyes. It takes a prescription to take it, but it's in the cheese.
Right.
And then you go, and you know, like you said, got the long list of ingredients. You go get a block of the same kind of cheese, and it's like milk.
Right.
You know, and the difference is phenomenal between grating your own. I can't believe it took me so long to realize that there was such a difference in the flavor and the texture. Right. Of shredded cheese versus homemade shredded cheese, home shredded.
I got to say, I got to give credit to my wife. When we first got together and I bought a bag of shredded cheese, we were making something. And she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, and this was 10 years ago. I'm like, well, I just got some shredded cheese. She's like, well, don't eat that. She's like, it's got sawdust on it. I'm like, what are you talking about? And she pulls out the bag and she goes, you see the cellulose? Let's go log on the internet. And we Googled cellulose and it is sawdust. And she's like, yeah, they grind it up and then they put this stuff on it so it doesn't clump together. That's why if you shred your own. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
I mean, who knows at these corporations, are they using treated lumber?
Right.
For the sawdust? You know, what kind of poisons are they going out and getting the wholesome oak and maple and whatnot?
Right.
I mean, it's like, come on. All for anti-caking.
Right. And it's funny too, because all this ties back to how do they get you sick? And at the end of the day, and we talked about a little bit about it from our business model as digital content guys, like your gold mine of money is subscriptions. If somebody, you get them on a reoccurring monthly subscription, like that's how you make money. You go on Amazon.com and buy something. Hey, here's the subscribe button. You buy your Split Rock coffee. Let's be honest. They want you to subscribe. So every month it shows up, it's reoccurring revenue. Pharmaceutical companies are no different. If they get you, like these pills they give you are not designed to cure anything. They're just designed to
hide manage. Symptoms.
Yeah. They're to manage your symptoms. Because once you get on the, I need to take a lisinopril every day, you're not going to graduate from that in 5 years or 10 years or 15 years. You're going to be on it forever. And, you know, even if you, it's only my $10 copay, they're billing your insurance company $50 or $100 or whatever. They never have to resolicit another customer. Like, I mean, there's pills I've taken now for 10, 15, 20 years.
I've taken for longer than that.
Right.
You know, and I remember
value in school, as a customer.
Yeah. And, earlier in my life, when I was in grade school, I guess, maybe high school, I remember, especially blood pressure medication, the message from the media was constant and all the time. It was, you can't get off of this. You have to continue to take it. You can't stop taking it or the high blood pressure will come back. And you know, I saw it happen to people. I mean, it's true, you know.
Right.
You know, I knew a guy, I'll never forget this. We were on the way. We used to gather at the door at work 5 minutes before it was time to leave, right? So everybody's up there in a gaggle, and then they ring the bell, and everybody can leave. And this guy, he's an overweight guy, but he said, yeah, I don't feel good. I quit taking that heart medicine yesterday, you know? And then I'm driving home, and I heard on a police radio there's an accident, and I know it was the road that this guy went down. His heart blew up, and he crashed into a building.
Unreal.
You know, just because he wasn't taking his medicine. I can't believe he told me that. Like 20 minutes before. I didn't say anything to anybody, but
I was gonna say that had to give you just chills. Like, yeah, it did. Mental note, never was, stop taking your
right. I mean, it's a mental condition, you know, just like the food pyramid. I mean, I went by that,
right? You know, oh my god, that pyramid was just
pizza
like,
had so many food groups in it, you know,
right?
You got your dairy, your protein, your flour breads and cereals, or whatever.
Yeah, and they're trying to convince you margarine's better for you because fat's bad. Oh. So natural butter. I mean, margarine is like one tick away from like plastic.
I know. It's petroleum products. It's oil.
Right.
You know, ugh, I hated that. You know, and my mom forced us to eat that because they thought it was healthy.
Right.
And here I've been eating butter. Butter's not bad for you. The whole research was flawed.
Yeah. Well, in these research studies, I mean, who pays for these research studies?
Big the margarine pharma. Company.
Yeah, the margarine company, the food processors, and then you're shocked at the results. And it's funny. So Jen and I were out to dinner with a friend a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about the food stuff and she came from the medical industry, and she had these examples of where her doctors would use more expensive medications than required, you know, hey, here's two of them. This one's $100, this one's $1,000. And the doctors would give the $1,000 one because then everybody makes more money on it. And we were talking about that, and like, oh, they did the same, but the whole thing's kind of a game. And it was interesting because she was a little bit pro LGBT. And it was funny. I looked at her and I go, I gotta ask, who do you think's behind the LGBT thing, other than like China and the social destruction? And she goes, what? I'm like, how about if you suggest that Big Pharma, who's funding the studies, and the psychiatrists that are funding the studies, that saying this LGBT stuff is good and right, and it's not a mental condition? Because what happens when you convince a five-year-old they're LGBT? You start out, you get a surgery out of the deal, you get lifetime treatments if you're their counselor. Yeah, right. You never get better. Like, you're always going to continue to have to go to these people.
There's a whole new clothing industry out there. You know, it's funny you say that because there is a little bit of good news on the horizon.
Oh.
You're starting to notice, and I'm talking about the LGBT, the trans part.
Right.
You're starting to notice that the United States is starting to stand alone when it comes to this barbarism.
Yep.
All over Europe, they're starting to say, wait a minute, man, hold on. You know, kids go through phases and they get over it, man. You know, we don't need to be chopping stuff off. Mm-hmm. So we're being more and more isolated with this ridiculous idea that the awfuls have come up with. But in Idaho, the United States Supreme Court rules that Idaho can enforce a ban on sex changes for children. Healthcare professionals can face up to 10 years in prison for mutilating kids. So let's go lock them up. Let's start rounding these monsters up for the damage that they've caused so many people. Put them in prison where the other convicts can deal with them. Maybe they can be trans.
They would certainly be the bottoms in the prison environment. Well, and I got to say, Idaho has been on fire lately with some pretty strong conservative legislation. They also passed a resolution that said requiring official government IDs, not school IDs, for voting. Because this is one of those things that they talk about. There was a report that broke last night from the House Oversight that said they were handing out flyers to illegal immigrants saying, make sure you vote for Joe Biden.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. And I mean, if you remember, like, a couple weeks ago when they said, oh, we're going to pass legislation that says illegals can't vote, they're like, oh, you're crazy. Why are you such a, you know,
you're racist. You're a racist.
Right.
You know, the other half of that is they said that for them to vote for Joe Biden. And the second sentence is we need 4 more years to stay open.
Right.
4 more years so this border stays open. Then it'll be complete invasion of the United States. It'll no longer be the United States. This will be the United Nations.
Right.
I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah. Where do we go then, Hutch? Do we move to Costa Rica? Or
Guyana, maybe Guyana or something.
Guyana. Yeah. I guess if they're all leaving Guyana,
Costa Rica,
we could get a bunch of armed Americans. We could go set up our own compound in.
This is horrible, man. I mean, people need to be punished for this. It's so blatant.
Right.
And it's driving people crazy. Do we still have something about the sleeping in today's turbulent times? I think we had a
Yeah, so Wayne's topic was Caught in the Storm, American Struggle with Sleep. And I was looking for what would be a great video to kick off the topic. And folks, this is a doozy. Why do you think everybody's so nuts? And why do you think everybody's so panicked? Why do you think our young people are worried? And I'll ask you to look at the date in the upper corner as you watch the video.
Concern about rising temperatures on planet Earth heated up a hearing here in Washington today. For years, scientists have theorized about the dangers of the so-called greenhouse effect, the warming of the Earth's atmosphere due to the burning of coal and oil. And in recent months, as David Culhane reports, research has uncovered facts to support that theory.
Many scientists claim that the temperature of the Earth's atmosphere has been rising over the past 100 years, that the great sheets of pack ice in Antarctica are melting at a much more rapid rate than previously. And finally, that the sea level has been rising with increasing swiftness over the past 40 years. If these scientists are correct, about 25% of Florida would be flooded, along with low-lying areas all over the world. Climate changes could produce widespread disruption of agriculture. The American farm belt might be too dry, and the wheat and corn crops would have to move to Canada. Scientists blame the odorless, colorless carbon dioxide gas for these potentially dangerous changes around the planet. It is the greenhouse effect. The gas allows sunlight to filter down and warm the earth. But like the glass of a greenhouse, the carbon dioxide tends to trap heat so that it cannot rise into space. The scientists maintain that the coal, oil, and gas we've been burning for 100 years have produced more and more carbon dioxide and helped overheat the Earth. Now, some political leaders endorse the demands for more CO2 monitoring stations, like this one in Hawaii. And they share the anger of the scientists at Reagan administration budget cuts at a time when they feel closer to getting definitive answers.
We are not doing the kind of research that we should be doing to determine whether or not these scientists who are so alarmed are correct in their assessment.
And what they find out will affect the lives and fortunes of millions of people, the very survival of cities like this one. David Culhane, CBS News, New York.
Don't worry, you handled that city already.
So let's think, folks. Do us a favor. In the comments, put a chat what you were doing in 1982.
I was at Fort Benning.
You were at Fort Benning. I was going to say, I was born in 74, so like I was 8 years old. I was riding my bike. And 42 years ago, these folks were convincing all Americans the world's going to end. Florida's going to flood. The Midwest is not going to be able to grow crops. We are all going to die.
And Al Gore wasn't even in the administration yet.
Right.
And he was on the climate. I didn't know he was on that climate thing for so long.
Oh, yeah. This has been a scam for years. But you wonder.
No, I knew it was a scam, but I didn't know that Al Gore was the face of it before he was even in the vice presidency.
Yeah. No, he was an early adopter.
Yeah,
apparently. Of. If you create a crisis that there's no solve for, and you convince a significant percentage of the population that the world is going to end, everything's going to go horribly, what's going to end up happening is that people are going to have all this anxiety. And think of how that trickles down. So in 1980, I was a young person. They told me the world was going to end. I didn't believe it. I still got married, had kids. But look at our kids now. Part of the reason why they don't want to have kids, why they're so anxious, why they're so nuts, is because they really think the world's going to end.
And you know, the way they've restructured education to take out critical thinking skills and almost block you from having those skills, because once you have critical thinking, then you come up with a lot of conspiracy theories because things don't make sense anymore.
Yep.
Right. So the way they've readjusted our education program, the smartest, well, I shouldn't say the smartest, the highest achieving students in our schools are the most brainwashed students.
Yep.
So the guys at the top, like my stepson, believe every lie they've been told, memorized everything they needed to memorize, got all their tickets punched. They're at the head of the class and they're complete communists. That's where we're at right now. They're sheep.
Right.
They know how to follow orders. They don't know how to issue orders, but they know how to follow orders.
Right.
And that's what our colleges are filled with, idiots.
Well, and it's funny
to say that. It's not their fault. It's not their fault.
No, it's not their fault. And we've created this pipeline where people just lack critical thinking. And I talk about it with my group of partners on the American Tribune. I'm the old guy of the group. I've got 3-4 younger guys working with me. We just brought on our fifth partner. And he is in his early 20s. He gave up a career at JP Morgan. He went to school, got his degree, went into corporate America. And it was funny, he started working with us. The biggest obstacle I had to overcome with him is convincing him that he didn't need to have a job for somebody, that he was smart enough to figure out how to make a living doing what we do, doing digital marketing, doing different things. And it completely shattered his worldview. Because from the time they put him in kindergarten, this kid was indoctrinated. This kid was saying, this is how you think. These are what the right answers are. We aren't going to teach you how to get the answer. We're just going to say, this is the thing. We're not going to teach you skills like how to set up an LLC or how to pay your taxes or how to invest. But we're going to convince you that you need to then go to school, take on a bunch of debt so that you get this crappy job at this soulless company that teaches you DEI. And then you just do what your boss tells you and everything will be just fine. And then, oh, by the way, you get your paycheck every week. And instead of learning how to invest or how do I get out, we're going to convince you that you just spend whatever your paycheck is. Because that's what we do as a country. We spend a third more than what we collect as a paycheck. So you should do that, too. And then you're set to a lifetime of debt, and you're set to a lifetime of working for the man. And it's funny, after about a year working with us, he's like, wait a second, I can actually make more money if I'm not stuck working in this corporate environment and figuring things out and learning different skills. And people, they just don't learn to think and don't learn to process and don't learn to figure stuff like that out. It's remarkable. And like your stepson, Hutch, he's going to get some soulless job at some crappy company that he's going to go to, and he's going to hate his life. And 20 years from now, we're going to wonder why he's so crappy.
I'm hoping he's going to snap out of it. He is smart. And he's got a curriculum. He goes to this school. It's called the College of the Atlantic.
Okay.
And I mean, he spent one semester in Mexico, spent another semester in Louisiana, another one in Seattle. He went out on a ship for a month, and he went on a deserted island with nothing but a lighthouse there for the summer. I mean, a guy's got some adventure under his belt, that's for sure.
Well,
but we'll see. I hope he can snap out of it. The most of those people get jobs that are fueled by grants.
Right.
It's a environmental type school.
So he needs to watch the Al Gore video from 1982. Yeah,
exactly. And I think he will have a moment like that.
You think so?
I hope so. Maybe not, but we'll see. Whatever.
I got to say for our kids, because my stepdaughter, and I love her to death, but she was a crazy blue-haired liberal who believed all the stuff. The best thing for her was when she got out and she got a house, she had a mortgage, she had to go to work, and now she's pregnant with our grandbaby, and it just like changes her whole worldview. And that's why they want to destroy religion and family and all that stuff. And it's funny, we're still trying to get her and her soon to be husband to figure out like, hey, how do we get you a job where you're not working for some big, I mean, she's working for a big corporation and it's terrible. Like
an added element to that is we're going to have an entire generation or a large portion of a generation that doesn't own a home.
Right.
I mean, they're going to be renting for the rest of their lives. And some of these people, like the non-critical thinkers, they like you said about the paycheck, they don't even put any money away for retirement.
Right.
And for you to do that now with the facts about Social Security's lifeline, you're nuts.
Right.
I mean, and I'm talking about putting a substantial amount away. I think for my entire working life, I put 10% away.
Yep.
You know, it's what you got to do if you're going to take care of yourself. I mean, this we're not going to have the infrastructure to take care of people soon. Not when you add all these people in here that aren't even culturally compatible with us.
Right. Well, and it's funny you say that about Social Security and retirement funding and all that. I help a lot of my friends with their finance stuff and taxes and that. And it's always like, you need to find a way to put 10 or 20% away. Like, that needs to be your range. And they're like, oh, Social Security. And I'm like, there, like, if you get there to retirement and Social Security's still there, like, congratulations. You know, if you're on Social Security right now, you'll probably be okay. If you're in my range as somebody who's 50, so I'm still however many years away from collecting, it's unlikely that Social Security will be there. The math just doesn't work out. And if you're 40 years old or 30 years old, like, good luck. If you're counting on that, like, you're dumb.
And you know, another thing too, Social Security is just like welfare, except you paid for it.
Right.
If you think you're going to live a real good life on Social Security, you're not going to.
Correct.
Because it's means tested.
Right.
You know, if you start making some side money, you can only make so much side money, it starts getting deducted off the other end.
Right.
You know, so have your own money. It's probably a good idea.
Yeah. Well, and you think about it too. Everybody has this mindset with finances, and the mindset is, I make this much money so I can take on this many payments. And then before you know it, your entire life is built around, can I afford that payment? Can I afford that payment? Can I afford that payment? And when my wife and I got together, like, she had that same mindset. And I'm like, no, you need to not think like that. Like, how do we get to a place where we don't have bills?
You know how you can tell somebody's thinking like that? Oh, so you're out shopping for a car or something, right?
Right.
How much is that car? $350 a month?
Right.
No, I don't want to know how much the payment is. I want to know how much the car is.
Right.
You know, and people, they'll accept that.
Right. It's, well, like, it's funny because, so on my car, I drive a 2014 Altima. I brought it brand new. Thing's got 95,000 miles on it, runs like a champ. And, like, my buddies make fun of me, like, when are you going to get a new car? That thing's, like, 10 years old. I'm like, well, A, it's got less than 100,000 miles. B, it has no payments. And one of my business partners, like, 5 years ago when we started talking finance stuff, he was always that, like, how much of a lease can I afford on a car? Which is, like, the worst thing ever. And I'm like, dude, you need to start paying off your loans. Like, you're, like, in your late 50s. You're going to be working forever. And it was funny. He pulled up to a meeting. He goes, hey, how do you like my car? And I'm like, looks great. Same Honda you had. And he's like, yeah, but you know what? And he had his payment thing out. He goes, look, it's paid for. Doesn't that thing look hotter now? And I'm like, oh, yeah. But for him now, he's like, holy cow, I got $500 extra a month. I can set that aside. I can invest it. He's buying some crypto. And
now there's some people that know how to play that lease game, though.
Right.
Because there is another way to look at that. If you have a vehicle that has a good resale value, and all of them don't, but a Toyota 4x4 pickup truck has tremendous resale value.
Right.
That's what I drive. And you can go in there to that dealer after it's paid off, and you can sell it to him and lease a vehicle for something a month. So you go 2 years into the lease, and the guy hands you a $40,000 check for your truck.
Oh.
You know, you got to do the math, you know?
Right.
There is a way to make some money. I had a car dealer taught me that, by the way.
Oh, that's funny.
He asked me, he said, hey, and I've never leased, but he said, you like to always have the newest stuff, right? And I was like, yeah. He said, you ever consider leasing? He said, I've been leasing for 20 years. I always have a brand new vehicle and a small payment. So to each his own, you know, but I was never a big rental person.
Yeah, no, it's funny. One of the pieces of advice my dad gave me is, he said, interest is evil and payments are awful. And the sooner you can get to life where you've set aside some money for your retirement and you've paid off your debts, you won't believe how much it'll change your life. And it's funny because he taught me with cars, like, save up money. Sometimes you need to take a loan, but have a big chunk to put down so you can pay it off pretty quick and try to live life without payments. What's funny is you realize, though, that you can never escape, because even like your house, if you look like in Minnesota property taxes, like, and I don't have an exorbitant house, like $500 a month, you know, just for property taxes. It's like, come on.
Mine's only due once a year, and I had to pay it with my credit card this year.
Oh, no.
Just because it was so many thousands, you know, it's like, I don't have that in the piggy bank.
Well, ours is paid yearly. I'm just saying, I set it aside.
Right.
And it's like $500.
That's a lot, though. That's a lot if it's $500 a month.
Dude, a friend of mine lives in Chicago, though, and their property tax was like $15,000 a year on a $300,000-$350,000 house. This has been a couple of years ago now.
I'm still shocked that there's $300,000 houses that are normal.
Right.
That's how old I am. That money scares me.
Yeah. That's crazy. Oh, Hutch, do you got something else? Because somebody just sent me a video. I haven't listened to it yet. But remember we were talking about that Supreme Court hearing from 1512 about the January 6th folks?
Yeah.
That's going on right now. One of my business partners just sent me the video. Should we throw it on quick?
Sure.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're all viewing this for the first time.
I hope there's no time bombs in it, but go ahead.
Yeah. We're going to roll the dice.
If I might. So what does that mean for the breadth of this statute? Would a sit-in that disrupts a trial or access to a federal courthouse qualify? Would a heckler in today's audience qualify or at the State of the Union address? Would pulling a fire alarm before a vote qualify for 20 years in federal prison?
There are multiple elements of the statute that I think might not be satisfied by those hypotheticals, and it relates to the point I was going to make to the Chief Justice about the breadth of this statute. The kind of built-in limitations are the things that I think would potentially suggest that many of those things wouldn't be something the government could charge or prove as 1512C2 beyond a reasonable doubt, would include the fact that the actus reus does require obstruction, which we understand to be a meaningful interference. So that means that if you have some minor disruption or delay or some minimal outburst, okay, we don't think it falls within the actus reus.
My outbursts
to begin with
require the court to reconvene after the proceeding has been brought back into line, or the pulling of the fire alarm, the vote has to be rescheduled, or the protest outside of a courthouse makes it inaccessible for a period of time. Are those all federal felonies subject to 20 years in prison?
So with some of them, it would be necessary to show nexus. So with respect to the protest outside
they were trying to stop the proceeding.
Yes, and then we'd also have to be able to prove that they acted corruptly, and this sets a stringent mens rea. It's not even just the mere intent to obstruct. We have to show that also, but we have to show that they had corrupt intent in acting in that way.
We went around that tree yesterday.
I heard the argument yesterday. But I guess what I would say is that to the extent that your hypotheticals are pressing on the idea of a peaceful protest, even one that's quite disruptive, it's not clear to me that the government would be able to show that each of those protesters had corrupt intent.
So mostly peaceful protest that actually obstructs and impedes an official proceeding for an indefinite period would not be covered?
Not necessarily. We would just have to have the evidence of intent. And that's a high bar.
They intend to do it all right.
She's frustrated. Can you imagine how evil that is? I mean, that's a federal employee, a high-level federal employee.
Well, yeah, and for those who don't follow this, like, ticky-tack stuff with the court, so they're hearing oral arguments basically about January 6th. They were all convicted of the Sarbanes-Oxley law about disrupting an official proceeding, and it's never been used in the history of America for that. It's been used for impeding an investigation or that kind of thing. And what Gorsuch was saying there is basically, let me get this straight. So you've never used this before. You've never used it again. And he even named like Jamal Bowman pulling the fire alarm.
And at the end of the day, and I don't know when this will happen, but it will. When the truth comes out, Nancy Pelosi stopped that. Not the people on January 6th.
Right.
Nancy Pelosi, Kevin McCarthy, Mitch McConnell, and Chuck Schumer stopped that.
Right.
And don't forget about McCarthy and McConnell, because they were in on it.
Well, yeah, and I got to say, too, it's this is going to be really wild, because the Supreme Court, it's probably going to be 5-4, 6-3. I hope Roberts falls in line and says, yeah, you can't use this statute for that. Because honestly, if we start, like, the fact that they're using it for January 6ers is bad, but this opens up Pandora's box where anybody obstructing any government proceeding could get thrown in jail for 20 years.
Unless you're Democrat and pull a fire alarm.
unless you're a Democrat and pull a fire alarm. And how about the Supreme Court? Like, they remember a couple of years ago when people were pounding on the Supreme Court doors and Roe versus Wade.
The congressional hearings when they come in and they have outbursts and they have to take them outside and everything else.
Right.
It's what they do. This whole projection, it makes you wonder, there has to be a groundswell of people like us.
Right.
There just has to be millions of us.
Right.
That are watching this going, no, man, no, stop.
Well, and that's what's remarkable. I've been waiting for this case. I've been talking about it for weeks, and I got to go back and listen to the morning thing. I didn't have time this morning to listen to it, but it sounds like they're drubbing this girl pretty solid.
So. Yeah, Gorsuch is pretty slick, too. He's sitting there, and he's weaving a web and dragging her right into it.
Right.
It looks like, you know.
Yeah, let me get this straight. So you're not going to prosecute anybody else for this ever, but the January 6th people you're going to prosecute for. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Okay, so.
Unbelievable. I don't see how they get people to do this. You know, like, so wouldn't somebody say, you know what, I can't do that, man. I this is too bad. They got to know. Everybody in that courtroom has to know that it's a fraud.
Well, here's how they get them to do it. And it's funny because, you know, if you follow like CNN or, I mean, like that clip we showed earlier about, yeah, lock Trump up. These people are so brainwashed thinking that President Trump is trying to end democracy and evil MAGA people are trying to end democracy. And I've used the example on the show before. These people are living in a fake world that they are in the rise of Hitler right before the Reichstag fire. And in their mind, they will do anything to preserve this feeling of democracy, even if they have to destroy democracy. Like, we will destroy democracy to save it. And so in their mind, they think it's right. Like that gal earlier on the chat, like, oh, Trump shouldn't get special treatment or whatnot. Lady, Trump shouldn't even be charged with this crime since nobody else is. And you're bending over backwards three ways from Sunday for a corrupt DA trying to get a case that we know he's not going to win. And like, it shouldn't even be there, but that lady doesn't care. Because in her mind, Trump is a threat to democracy, and I'm doing my part supporting the regime trying to overthrow it.
The ironic part about it is if we lived in a democracy, they are the minority.
Right.
So it wouldn't be pretty for them. You know, but that's, who knows, the way things are set up. The deep state is the biggest blocking agent for us to get right. I mean, it's you can't get a fair trial in any of these big cities.
Well, right. Yeah. Well, and if you look, it's kind of funny because Democrats in the 60s, 70s, 80s, they were legitimately prosecuted and targeted by the federal government. I mean, we've talked about it on the show, the civil rights movement, all those sorts of things. A lot of those were more left-leaning folks. And eventually then Democrats got smart and said, we are going to become the deep state. And they've become the deep state. They've taken over our businesses, our institutions, our educational facilities. And now conservatives find herself in the weird spot, like suddenly that we're no longer the pawns of the deep state. And it's funny because for those who've been around long enough, like you look at the Democrats and it's like, okay, all the stuff you were telling me 20 years ago, you're right about, like corporations and the military industrial complex and Republicans were awful. But now why are you doing the same stuff you used to yell at me for? And yeah, it's remarkable.
And blaming us for you. Blaming right. That the projection is beyond belief.
Right.
To me, you know, and you know, I did see some good movement today. I saw that Larry Fink, the CEO of BlackRock, is flipping out because red states are divesting from his group.
Right.
And that's good news. It really is. I mean, the way we've allowed all this power, and when I say power, I mean money, to be accumulated by such small percentage of people, man, it's a dangerous game.
Well, it's crazy, and that's where, you know, like Robert Reich, he's a huge Democrat guy. And
horrible man.
He's a horrible man, but he's right about some things. Like he does videos that talk about how much these big corporations are kind of strangling Americans and the wealth transfer. But then what's funny is they support these policies that do that. So, you know, and we've talked about when the government prints $5 trillion, that benefits the rich. The rich have assets, the poor have bills. And so we pay our bills and stuff costs more. Their assets, I mean, that's why houses go up in value. That's why our kids can't afford a house, because if you own that asset, that house went up from 300,000 to 350 to 400,000, but it really didn't. It's the same.
The value. The house didn't go up in value. The dollar went down in value.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why I saw somebody last week that said something that 50 cents now going to have to call himself 57 cent.
Because... I saw that. Yeah. People are having fun with it.
Right.
That's for sure. Well, I'll tell you, prayers go out to Wayne Dupree and his family. I hope everything's working out down there. It seems like he's got it, you know, as much under control as you can have it. I mean, it's not in human control at this point.
It's in God's hands, baby.
That's true. That's true. So what else is going on here? What else is on your mind?
I was going to say it's we talked about these bridges and the Hamas caucus. It ended up hitting like five states yesterday. They blocked four different airports and
the Brooklyn Bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge. And
right.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, man. That ought to be a wake up call by itself. And it makes you wonder. It makes me wonder how many people in those crowds are illegal invaders.
Right.
I'd really like to know that. You know, the FBI it's probably on their radar.
It's on their radar. And after they do something, they'll say, oh, we've been surveilling this group for 5 years. Cause I got to say, you know, I've resigned myself to the fact that the House is going to drive us off a financial cliff. I mean, and it's funny cause Thomas Massie said it well about vacating Johnson. He has spent more than Nancy Pelosi. The Republican House has spent more than Nancy Pelosi when she had control of the House. Let that sink in. We're Thumb and Louise heading to the cliff financially. And there's not much you can do about it, but okay, they're going to pass another omnibus or two. I think really the big thing coming up this summer is going to be civil unrest. And as things accelerate between Israel and Iran, and then Israel still got to take care of Hamas and all these illegal invaders in America, like this is just a bad formula. And I mean, if you remember after 9/11, right, wrong, or otherwise, we were shipping the Muslims out. Like, we don't want you anywhere near America. And now you've got all these people that are pro Hamas.
Oh, you got Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, Andre Carson,
right?
You know, your attorney general up there.
Well, yeah. And actually, you got Daniel, who had a good call, chanting death to America and our country. There's been like three or four videos that have come out in the last few days.
That's sedition.
Right. Yeah, and these people are at these pro-Hamas protests chanting death to America. And here was a funny thing. So yesterday in New York, the pro-Hamas caucus was burning an American flag chanting death to America. And ironically, if they would have burnt an LGBTQ flag, they could have been arrested for a hate crime. But you can stand on a corner in New York City, you can burn the American flag and a Bible, and you can say death to America and nothing, freedom of speech. But if you do that with an LGBTQ flag, it's a hate crime.
It's unbelievable. And I don't, you know, the thing about it is it's not going to last.
Right.
I really don't think so. I think that, especially with the news about Europe turning away from the trans world, I think it's trending.
Right. Yeah, and actually, Hutch just mentioned that, and we kind of went away from it, but like three or four countries now have banned child sex.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge.
People are waking up, and it's about time. That's barbarism. I mean, to me, that's not the same as as homosexuality. I got to get away from these letters. You know, that's two different things. And if you want to do it yourself, if you're that mentally messed up, you got to be, I'd say, over 21. But who would ever go approve that these days?
Right.
You know, it's just That's can you imagine? And these people are out there going, what did I do to myself?
Oh, dude, we talked about that. I mean, we look back at the racism stuff and slavery from 50, 100 years ago, and you're like, man, how could those guys do it? But that was just the cultural norm. What's going to happen 100 years from now when people are like, why did all the boys start cutting off their privates?
Anyway, it's that time, Jason. Final thoughts.
So I got to say, my buddy Will on the American Tribune has a piece coming out on the AmericanTribune.news this week. And he's going to law school. He did a deep dive into the laws California's passed in the last 24 months. Folks, it's going to blow your socks off. Did you know it's legal for a 14-year-old to sleep with a 24-year-old in California now?
Yeah, I did see that, man. I mean, all the senator's trying to do is make it a felony.
Right.
To buy children, and they won't even go for it.
Man. They won't even go for it. But yeah, that we saw those stories and he started digging in, and it's like, oh my God. And I was reading it. I'm like, these can't all be laws. And he's like, here's the statute. It's passed. I'm like, this is unbelievable. But great, Joe Hutch. Hopefully everything's going good with Wayne. Over to you for final thought.
All right. Rust Armor Hannah Gutierrez Reed gets maximum sentence, 18 months for fatal onset shooting. Alec, get ready, baby. You're next.
Oh, and Alec's getting away with it.
We'll see. We'll see. That doesn't bode well for him. But anyway, right. Ladies and gentlemen, the Wayne Dupree Show. We'll see you tomorrow. Thank you.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.